Laudetur Jesus Christus. Welcome to Vatican Radio's English service for South Asia.
Hello and welcome to our special program on the Year of Faith, The Faithful Witness, a series on the lives of inspiring people and witnesses of faith in the Catholic Church from around the world.
I pray you'll be all right and watch us where we go and help us to be wise in times when we don't know. Let this be our prayer when we lose. Lead us to a place, guide us with your grace, to a place where we'll be safe.
You're listening to The Faithful Witness, our weekly feature based on the lives of inspiring people and witnesses of faith in the Catholic Church from around the world. These are people who lived their ordinary lives in extraordinary ways. They are examples of great fortitude and virtue. Their unique stories inspire us to be rooted in our faith. God calls each one of us today to inspire our brothers and sisters and to be witnesses of our faith. The faithful witness of this week is Father Gaurav Shroff, an American diocesan priest of Indian origin belonging to the Archdiocese of Atlanta. He was ordained a priest 2 months ago. Born and brought up in an upper caste Hindu family in India, Gaurav became a Catholic, attracted by the Gregorian music, and that too while he was still in the college. Later, pursuing his secular studies in the U.S., he listened to his inner prompting to follow his master more closely and opted to become a Catholic priest. In the third and final part of this interview today, Father Gaurav shares his journey of faith and more. Our faithful witness today, Father Gaurav Shroff, shares with us his faith experiences and his plan for the ministry ahead as a priest. Father Gaurav Shroff, welcome back to Vatican Radio. Last week, you shared with us your journey to priesthood. Now tell us, have you ever encountered a very difficult situation where your faith came as a help?
Sure. One of the biggest things that immediately comes to mind was my father's illness and his passing away. That was probably a time where I really went much deeper. There's this one time I remember we'd just come back. They lived in Baroda. And I was involved in all the day-to-day stuff with medications, with talking with the doctor. I think it was Sunday, and it was late in the day, and I knew I had to go to Mass because I'd been looking forward to that. I had not obviously been able to go to daily Mass with everything going on. And I had such a deep desire to just go and receive the Lord, because I knew without that I would not be able to continue to the next day. And what had happened is I went to the church where I normally go to, and there was no one there where the Mass was. And I was like, I must have missed something. I missed an announcement that there's Mass. And I talked to the guard at the gate, and he said, oh, no, we're at the shrine. The Mass is at the shrine. I didn't even know there was a shrine. So I showed up late. All the while, I was so anxious. It's like, I can't miss Mass. I have to go and receive the Lord. And so that was a real grace, a realization of just how much in every day, in every situation, I need God.
Does your faith in some way affect the people of other faiths?
Sure. I think for me, at one level, religious difference is superficial in the sense that every human being has the same desires, desire for meaning, desire for truth, for beauty, for communion. As I've said, and I've traveled a lot, I've been in various different cultures, that people ultimately are people. It's a Hindu or a Muslim, at the level of their humanity, we're all the same. And there's obviously a lot from their religious traditions that informs them and so on. I think my personal tendency is to interact with people as people first. That was actually something that my best friend from college in India, Kemble, who kind of walked with me in my faith journey, he really taught me that people are the most important thing. Things are not important, which is a beautiful expression of the Christian faith of the importance of the human person, the individual. There are serious differences between the religions. That's, to me, they're not irrelevant. But when I encounter someone as a human being first. You know, when I start my conversion story, I always start with this music thing that happened in my teens. But the foundation, really, of my faith, of my encounter with Christ, the natural foundation, was laid by my family in the values that they inculcated in me. The value, like for my father, of following your principles, of integrity, honesty, of compassion. All of these things my parents taught me.
It's Catholic Church's Year of Faith now. How does it enhance the faith of the people?
I'll speak really from the American context, so that's what I'm most familiar with right now. One of the geniuses of Pope Emeritus Benedict was this calling us back to the fundamentals. And one of his talks that he gave went on his visit to Germany. He was talking to members involved in different church groups in Germany. He said, we have all this activity. Church in Germany supports a lot of charity all over the world. But we take the faith for granted. And that really struck me. He really wants us to bring us back into that encounter with the person of Jesus Christ. Every one of us should have a personal relationship. Jesus Christ has to be a real person for us. It's someone that we know, that we love, that we learn from, that we open our hearts to, that whom we share our life with and whom we follow, ultimately, as disciples of Christ. This is true of everyone, every Christian, every Catholic. And I think if there is one thing that I would hope that would come out, that the prayer that I have for my people as a parish priest would be for them to really come to know who Jesus Christ is, his tremendous love for them, and just how amazing life in Christ can be. That on the outside, it can look very different or challenging or difficult or demanding compared to what the world offers, but it is an incredibly beautiful life. If we can evoke that, if we can really spread that among our people, then I think the Year of Faith would be a success, if you will.
There is a general perception that the youth are away from the church. Is it true?
In my experience of absolute numbers, I would say we do have a problem. I think the recent studies in the United States show that of the youth who identify as Catholics, and we're talking about those born after 1990, it's like 10 or 12%. Who go to Mass on Sunday. If you just look at that and you look at the implications of that, if that continues, then very soon, the people who are now in our pews, they're not going to be there anymore. And there's not people coming after. So I think there is a problem in that sense. That said, I mean, I've been around the past 5 years, for instance, with the men in seminary. Generally, most of them are younger than I am. A lot of them are in their early or mid-20s. And it is really heartening to see how many young men, and in other contexts, young women also, have had some kind of a transformative experience and encounter with the Lord. And they're willing to dedicate their life to Him, either in religious life or in the priesthood or in pursuing holy marriages or in, you know, as single people dedicating themselves to various different aspects. I think it's very, very critical, though, that the church really invest pastorally a lot of effort and our resources in presenting the gospel, proclaiming the gospel to our young people. The gospel is of inestimable value, and once it grabs a hold of someone, it'll take root. I think be very, very intentional about, among all the other people that in our pastoral care, but to especially focus on the youth. One of the things, for instance, that came up from the men, from one of my classmates actually at the seminary, was on various breaks in the seminary calendar, groups of the seminarians would go to campuses, different places in the United States, and go out in pairs and talk to people on the campus about faith, about God. Just approach people. It's kind of a very, in a sense, evangelical or Protestant idea. But we're all in clerics. And so it was a very difficult thing to do. But in every one of those experiences, the amazing testimonies that we heard of the thirst that people have for meaning, for real spirituality, the thirst that they ultimately have for God, young people. It's out there. The church has the good news. We have the good news. We have to go out and meet people where they're at and bring them to Christ. I think there's one danger is for, I think, in pastoral ministry, for us to think that we have to compete with television. We're never going to compete with television. And Mass especially should not go down that road, in my opinion.
Shortly, you will be in a parish. What would be your priorities?
I think for me, first is, you know, respect my pastor. I'm only an assistant. My job is to help implement his pastoral vision. I think initially, certainly getting to know my people, know the people who are there. I really have a desire to go to people's houses. It's not very common in the United States, but to go and visit people in their homes, to pray, to teach our people really how to learn to pray, to turn everything over to God.
What is your message for the people?
That life with Jesus Christ, friendship with Jesus Christ, is the most incredible experience. Nothing else in the world will satisfy. Each of us has to have that relationship with him, but we should all want to get to know him better and do his will and follow him in whatever state of life we are in.
Thank you, Father Gaurav Shroff.
Thank you, Father.
That was the final part of an interview with Father Gaurav Shroff. You have been listening to The Faithful Witness, our weekly series based on the lives of inspiring people and witnesses of faith in the Catholic Church from around the world. If you have a faith experience to share with us, let us know. Visit our website, radiovaticana.va.